We present John le Carré's A Murder of Quality, adapted for radio in five parts by René Basilico, starring George Cole as Smiley, with Norman Bowler as Inspector Rigby. Murder of Quality, Episode 3.
Oh, good morning, sir. What can we do for you?
Now, my name is Smiley. George Smiley. I believe Inspector Rigby is expecting me.
Oh, yes, sir. He's on the phone just a moment, but asked me to send you straight in as soon as you arrive. It's down there, sir. Second door on your left.
Yes, I know the way. Thank you.
Ah, Mr. Smiley, come in. Won't keep you a minute.
No hurry.
That's right, yes. I want those bloodstains analyzed and all the surfaces tested for fingerprints. No, I don't expect you will, but try anyway, will you? Yeah, thanks. Bye. Sorry to keep you.
No, that's all right.
Well, your Miss Brimley turned up trumps, didn't she?
That refugee parcel could have been sitting in that warehouse for weeks and nobody would have been any the wiser.
Oh, we'd have found it in the end, I dare say.
Yes, but it might have been unpacked and redistributed by then.
Perish the thought.
I gather you've sent the clothes to the lab.
First thing this morning. Plastic cape and over trousers, old leather gloves, Wellington boots, the lot. One or two other bits and pieces. Well, you never know, do you? Still, one thing's certain. Whoever else packed that parcel, it wasn't Mrs. Rowe.
No. It was almost certainly her murderer. And what's more, Mad Janey must have seen him, mustn't she?
Yes, but she's not what I call a reliable witness, sir. I mean, you can't credit a word she says.
Can't we? You remember what she said about the devil with silver wings?
Riding on the wind.
Well, just think about it, Inspector. Supposing she saw the murderer in a transparent plastic cape. In the moonlight, mightn't that look like silver wings to someone like Janey?
Yes, it might have that. But what about him riding on the wind?
Oh, he was riding all right, on a bicycle.
Of course. A plastic cape and over trousers.
Standard wet weather dress for a cyclist.
I wonder if he realizes he was seen.
Well, it would seem likely.
You remember that length of coaxial cable we found on the Oakford Road?
Yes, you sent it for analysis.
It's the murder weapon, all right. They found strands of Mrs. Rhodes' hair on it, and blood group all over it. And it explains some odd traces of copper on the damaged part of her skull.
Well, that doesn't seem to leave much room for doubt.
There was something else. Part of the cable had been sectioned, layer by layer, the way you do with a model exhibit.
Are you thinking it might have come from a science laboratory at Carnes School?
Might be worth finding out. Especially as Mr. Stanley Rhodes is a science teacher at the school.
Yeah, but not the only one.
No, but I haven't seen a letter accusing the others of murder.
Perhaps that does need explaining.
I think it's about time we approach Stanley Rhodes.
I would like to suggest that that might be premature.
Oh, I agree. I don't want to make it official at this stage.
Well, it's up to you, of course. I mean, it's your investigation, after all.
Yes, but I'm not out in the open. And I'm bashing my head against a brick wall with anyone from the school.
It's Mrs. Rhodes' funeral today, isn't it?
Yes.
And the service starts at
11, I think it is. Yes.
Perhaps the Christian voice should be represented.
It would be a nice gesture, Mr. Smiley.
Yes.
In fact, I'll drop you off there, if you like. I've got the car with me.
You can drop me off near there, if you like. I don't want to be seen associating with undesirable policemen.
I've been thinking. If we're right and Mad Janey really is telling the truth, I haven't got any reason to hold her, have I?
Not really, no.
Well, then, I'll have to let her go, won't I?
Do you have to?
No, I could charge her with robbery, I suppose, but there'd be no point.
But she's warm and well-fed.
Yes, at the ratepayer's expense.
And she's safe, Inspector.
You think she might be in danger?
I don't know. But Mad Janey is the sole eyewitness of what was a carefully planned and brutally executed murder. She's as entitled to police protection as anyone else.
I'd better hold her pending further questioning, then.
Thank you.
Might keep the chief off my back.
It's an ill wind. Hey, haven't we just passed the tabernacle?
Yes, Mrs. Rhodes being buried in the Anglican cemetery by the parish church.
Wasn't she a nonconformist?
Well, I thought you might like to ask Mr. Rhodes about that, sir.
For as much as it has pleased Almighty God to take unto himself the soul of our sister Stella, we commit her body to the ground. Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, in the sure hope of the resurrection to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Mr. Road.
Yes?
My name's George Smiley. I'm representing the Christian Voice.
Sorry?
The Christian Voice, the newspaper. Miss Brimley was most anxious that we should be represented.
Oh, yes, yes, I saw the week. Very kind of you.
I would like, if I may, to write a short obituary for our next edition. Would you have any objection?
No, I'm sure Stella would have loved that. She was always very keen on the Voice. Very keen.
Well, perhaps if I might call round and get one or two details, if you could bear it so soon.
By all means.
Well, this evening, perhaps?
Fine.
Well, at 6, say?
I look forward to it. Now, if you'll excuse me, there's a car waiting to take me home.
Of course.
I'll see you later, then.
Yes, of course.
I say, excuse me.
Yes?
Do you have transport, or can we give you a lift somewhere?
Well, that's very kind of you. I was hoping to get back to the Sawley Arms.
We're just over by the lift gate.
Oh, thank you.
I say, have you really come here for a newspaper?
Yes, actually.
Sorry, it's just that I couldn't help overhearing what you were saying to Stanley Road.
Don't let her fool you. She's got ears with built-in amplifiers. Most of the women have in these parts.
Shut up, Simon.
Simon Snow and Anne.
How do you do?
How do you do? George Smiley, of the Christian Voice. Are you from the school?
Yes, I teach science for my sins.
Oh.
Was poor Stella really important enough for an obituary?
She comes from one of the great nonconformist families. They were virtually one of the founders of our paper.
The old man standing alone there by the graveside, would that be her father?
Yes. I rather think it may be.
You don't know.
Look, if you wouldn't mind, I think I ought to go over and have a few words with him.
Oh, we'll wait for you.
Oh, no, you mustn't really.
Well, it won't take very long, surely.
Well, no, I shouldn't think so. Well, if you're sure.
Of course.
I'll see you in a few minutes.
Earth to earth, ashes to ashes. My poor child.
Mr. Glaston?
Oh, yes?
I'm representing Miss Brimley and the Christian Voice.
Oh, yes, thank you. They're decent people at the Voice. Always were. Very decent.
Yes.
You'll be chapel?
No, I'm afraid not.
No man should ever be afraid of what he's not, only what he is.
I'm not sure what I am.
Stanley was chapel once, when they were first married. Then he went over. When they came here, he went over. Did you know that?
Yes, I think I did.
Where I come from, we don't do things like that. Change over. Chapel was something we stood up for.
Yes, I know.
Aye. We're almost like the vote. Ashes. Just ashes now. That's all that's left.
Did you know that your daughter thought her husband was planning to kill her? She sent a letter to us at the Christian Voice. That was the real reason for me coming down.
Why would she do a thing like that?
I don't know, Mr. Glaston. Mr. Glaston. Mr. Glaston.
Go away, Mr. Whatever your name is. Leave me alone.
How was he, the old man?
Oh, it's hard to describe. He seemed somehow dismembered, mentally. Stella was the last of the line, you know.
Yeah, she told me once. I think she would like to have started a family.
How well did you know her?
Oh, we only got to know her, what? When was it, Simon? About a year ago?
Yes, our second term.
She didn't go to the usual round of coffee parties. In fact, Stella didn't mix much with the other wives at all.
She'd learned her lesson by then.
Wouldn't compete with them, you see. Didn't want to be a lady of quality. She just wanted to be herself.
Khan thrives on composition.
And Stella wouldn't play the game, eh?
Worse than that. The whole outlook suggested that the game wasn't worth playing, and that just couldn't be tolerated.
How do you get on at Khan?
All right, I suppose.
Simon wasn't educated at Khan. Most of the other masters were.
Enough said.
Actually, we'll be leaving at the end of the summer term.
Huh?
We're going back to Oxford.
I've got a grant to do a PhD, and hopefully after that stay on as a lecturer.
Did you say you taught science?
Yes.
Well, you're a colleague of Stanley Rhodes, then?
We're in the same department, yes.
What's he like, as a colleague?
Rather tiring, frankly. But one's bound to admit he's a pretty good teacher. Several boys I taught last year are in Rhodes form, and the improvement is staggering.
Oh?
Poor Simon's marking Rhodes examination papers, you see. Had to help out.
Yes, but there are one or two boys I reckon were practically unteachable. Yet he's brought them on marvellously. One in particular. Got 61% this year. 61! He got 15 last year with me.
Perhaps he's working harder.
He worked hard enough last year. Hasn't got it up top.
Which one was that, darling?
The red-headed boy, Perkins.
Oh, the senior boy in Fielding's house.
Good Lord, do you know him?
Oh, no, not really. Fielding introduced us briefly the other evening. I say, would you two care to join me for a drink?
That's jolly nice of you.
Where? The Sawley?
Oh, not if there's anywhere better.
Well, I've still got an enormous number of exam papers to mark.
What about the dovecot, darling?
It's a bit rustic, isn't it?
Well, it sounds ideal.
I'm afraid the eyes have it, Simon.
Oh, well, why not? I can't face the marking just yet, anyway.
One does need something to revive the spirits after a funeral.
Here we are.
Gin and tonic?
Thank you.
A small bitter.
Thanks. Cheers.
Cheers.
Your very good health. Well, you were saying?
Yes. Well, we had to spend the first term in a hotel until our house was ready. But when at last we did move in, Stella Rhodes just turned up in an old overall, without any warning whatsoever, ready to help.
We hardly knew her.
She just rolled up her sleeves and got on with it, without trying to manage everyone.
Yeah, the rest of the Carn wives are marvellous at managing, but not terribly good at helping, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I think I do. I heard she'd done sterling work for the refugees.
Oh, that put poor Stella into real hot water. She had the most awful row with Darcy's sister.
Well, about the refugees?
Hasn't anyone told you?
No.
Well, they wouldn't, would they, darling? Hardly anyone knew. Stella was never one to gossip.
Oh, it sounds interesting.
Well, yes, it's a good story.
You'll hardly believe it, Mr. Smiley.
The whole thing really started with the Vietnamese boat people. Dorothy Darcy was suddenly fired with charitable enthusiasm for the refugees.
As was the High Master. Dorothy's enthusiasms usually correspond with the High Master's.
Right. Well, some refugee centre or other wrote to Dorothy asking if anyone would be prepared to accommodate a couple of refugees. But instead of publishing the letter as she usually would, she wrote straight back and said she would put them up.
The Darcy's got their picture in the local press.
You know, front page treatment, lauding them to the skies as examples of ordinary British decency and common humanity, all that sort of thing.
Yes, I know what you mean.
And Dorothy got herself a couple of servants on the cheap.
You're not serious.
Aren't we?
About a fortnight after they arrived, they went knocking at Stella's door quite late in the evening.
They'd run away.
Good Lord.
Apparently the girl was pregnant, but she was still expected to work all day in the kitchen, and the husband was working all hours.
7 days a week as unpaid kennel boy to those beastly spaniels Dorothy breeds.
Practically slave labor.
Yes, but why did they go to Mrs. Rhodes?
Well, she was the nearest neighbor, I suppose.
Oh, come on, Simon. You know there was more to it than that. She'd been trying to take an interest in Dorothy's refugees before that, but Dorothy wasn't having it.
Yeah, what happened? To the refugees, I mean.
Stella simply took them in and phoned the refugee centre. Next day, a man turned up to sort it out, and in the end, the couple were sent back. Dorothy just let it be known that they'd been found a job in London.
You can imagine what the Carn coffee circle would have made of that if they'd known the full story.
And Stella Rhodes never told anyone, you say?
Well, except us. And we didn't pass it on. No point in bringing the wrath of the Darcys down on our heads.
No, indeed not.
You know, the Darcys must have hated Stella Rhodes for that. They really must.
Carn Police Station.
Could I speak to Inspector Rigby, please?
Could I have your name, please, sir?
Smiley.
Mr. Smiley?
Yeah, that's right, George Smiley.
Just hang on a moment, sir.
Thank you.
Rigby here. What can we do for you, Mr. Smiley?
I was wondering if you happen to know of a vet named Harriman. I can't find him in the phone directory.
Harriman? That wouldn't be Reed Harriman, would it?
Well, it might well be. First name Gerald?
Yes, I think it is. G.J. Reed Harriman.
R.E.I.D., is that?
That's it, where the hyphen. Ex-army type. Breeds Alsatians out on the Winterbourne Road.
Alsatians?
Yes, nice little business he's got there. Supplies half the police dogs in the county constabulary.
I see. I think I might go and have a word with him.
Any particular reason?
I'll think of something.
Oh.
I'll be in touch, Inspector.
Yes?
Mr. Harriman?
Major, actually.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, not that it matters anymore. What can I do for you?
Well, I was actually thinking of buying a guard dog for my father. And I heard you rather specialize in that sort of thing.
I do. Of course I do. But where did you hear it?
Well, I have friends up at the school.
Ah, I see. Well, let's go round and see what we can find for you.
Thank you.
Lived by himself, did he, your father?
Yes, over in Dorchester.
Oh.
I've been meaning to get him a dog for ages, but... Well, this affair up at the school has rather driven the point home.
Yes, terrible business, that. Terrible.
The pity Mrs. Rhodes didn't have a dog, isn't it? I mean, it might well have saved her life.
Oh, she did have a dog.
Really?
Yes. But she had it put down just the week before she was killed.
Lord, that seems a rum sort of coincidence, doesn't it?
Rum sort of story altogether, if you ask me. Through here.
Thank you.
That's the kennels in the outbuildings there.
Oh, yes. Oh, you were saying about Mrs. Rhodes.
Oh, yes. She turned up at the door one day and asked for a wretched dog to be put down. I tried to dissuade her, of course, but she insisted.
Huh?
Quite adamant about it. Some cock and bull story about it biting the postman. Absolute balderdash.
Well, you mean it wasn't true?
Absolutely not. Postman denied it. Seemed to think it was quite a friendly little beast. Between ourselves, it wasn't in very good nick. Taken quite a beating.
So you had to put it down?
No option, oh boy.
But why would anyone want to do a thing like that?
Now, the road woman was a type, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm.
We had a few in the regiment. Pious, butter, wouldn't melt in the mouth types. Arrange the flowers in church, all that sort of thing. Sunday virgins. They're always trouble. You can spot it a mile off.
Do you know the husband?
Not so well, poor devil. Not so well.
He's terribly cut up, I hear.
Yeah, he would be. He's the other type. Very good officer qualities, credit to the mess, but humble origins. They always cut up mess.
Yes.
Here, one of these might suit your purpose. Good little beast, all. Game as hell.
Mm. What will it do, a dog like that?
Well, it depends how you train him. But no villain chances his arm with an Alsatian. He might lose it, one.
Yes.
Well, come on. They won't bite you.
Oh, thank you.
Come here, you. This little lady might do you. Bitches are usually better with old people. Steadier than dogs.
Yes, a nice little thing, isn't she?
Hello, old girl.
She bit me.
But only a nip. She was just playing.
Playing? Look at that.
Hmm. Well, perhaps we should dab a spot of antiseptic on it, just in case.
Reed Harriman's dogs are only supposed to bite villains.
Well, you're misinformed.
What happened to the dog?
He's looking after it for me, I'm pleased to say. Till I leave Caen.
He's not it.
Yes. I had to pay a deposit, of course.
How much?
£10.
So you'll be that much out of pocket?
Well, unless, of course, you'd like to reimburse me. Well, it's just a suggestion.
It might count as a justifiable expense. Assuming, of course, that it contributed anything positive to the case.
It confirmed that Miss Darcy was telling the truth.
About what?
About Stella Rhodes having her dog put down.
It doesn't tell us why, does it?
Well, not if there's any reason beyond what she told Harriman, no.
Do you think there is?
Maybe. I don't know. You may never know. But Harriman referred to Mrs. Rhodes as a Sunday virgin.
So what?
He may not be so very far from the truth.
Harriman's a vet. What would he know about it?
More than you might think, perhaps.
Oh, Mr. Smiley, it doesn't make sense. Not after what she did for the Snows and those refugees.
Well, that may not be such a contradiction. There are some people who do the right things in the wrong spirit.
Stella, not sure I'd necessarily trust Harriman's judgment.
No, neither would I, entirely. Well, certainly not without confirmation.
Do you have anyone in mind?
Well, the husband, perhaps.
Ah, yes. When are you going to see him?
This evening, at 6.
He doesn't know that...
No. I am the representative of the Christian Voice. I shall be very careful, Inspector. Odd, no lights on anywhere. Oh. Hello.
Who's that?
I arranged to see you this evening.
Ah, yes, of course. You're the chap from the Christian Voice.
Yes.
Mr. Viney, isn't it?
Smiley, actually.
That's right, Smiley. Must forgive me. I had to go into Caen unexpectedly.
Well, if it's inconvenient, I can always...
No, I'd welcome the company.
Well, if you're sure.
Just put the bike away.
Right.
Oh, that's done. Look, Mr. Smiley, would you mind very much if we walked a little as we talked?
Well, no, but isn't it too dark?
If you'd rather not.
No, really.
I would prefer it.
Then, by all means, let's walk.
It's nice of you.
Oh, may I join the choir invisible?
What?
George Eliot. Oh, may I join the choir invisible, whose music is the gladness of the world.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. I prefer the dark just at the present. My cloak of invisibility. No one can see to point a finger at me.
Why would they do that?
They feel sorry for me, I suppose.
Well, it's natural enough.
Oh, I'll be glad to get back to work. Anything that keeps the mind occupied. They've left me nothing to do but mope around the house all day.
Yes, I can see the problem.
Can you? The loneliness, I mean.
Yes. I understand only too well.
Do you know, they've farmed out all my examination papers, the ones I was marking. I know they mean well, but they've left me nothing to do.
Well, that's the English way of showing sympathy. Leaving you alone with your grief.
Yeah, I expect so.
Choir's in good voice.
Yes. I love this place, you know. It's a part of England I never really believed existed. Coming here was like discovering that the soul was actually a part of the human anatomy, you know, real and tangible, instead of just an abstract concept.
Mm. Did Mrs. Rhodes feel the same way?
Yes, I think so. Though she didn't embrace it quite as enthusiastically as I did, perhaps.
But she nevertheless took an active part in the social life of the school.
Oh, yes. Not as much as the other wives, of course, because she was chapel. You'd know that better than anyone.
Yes. What on earth's going on over there?
It's Longmead Hill. So on. Let's walk over there, shall we?
Yeah, by all means. You were married in Branksome, Mr. Rhodes, weren't you?
Yes, Branksome Hill Tabernacle.
When was that?
6 years ago last September, the 18th.
Oh, so you were chapel too, in those days?
Yes, I was. Mind you, I was never particularly dedicated. I think I belonged more out of conformity than conviction.
And you changed when you came to Cannes?
Yes.
Out of conformity?
Yes, I suppose it was, if I'm honest.
And why? You buried Mrs. Rhodes according to the Anglican rite.
It's the same God. Anyway.
Yes?
No, I was just going to say, what difference does it make to her? She's dead.
What about her father?
He doesn't have to live here. I do.
I should like to make some reference in my little piece to Mrs. Rhodes winning our kitchen hints competition. Was she a good cook?
Very good. For plain things, that is. Good English home cooking.
Mm. Well, thank you. Now, this work she did for the refugees, was this something she started in Branksome and just carried on?
No, she was too busy looking after her father in Branksome. No, she only started here when the school's appeal was mounted.
But she collected in the town?
Yes.
I see. Is there any other little fact you'd like us to include?
No, not really. Her father used to be a magistrate in the Midlands, but well, you know all about her family, don't you?
The Glastons, yes. The Christian voice owes a great deal to them.
Yes, Stella was very proud of that.
You were right, it is an accident.
Hey, keep on the move over there!
I would, but that light's directly into my eyes.
Oh, sorry, sir.
Thank you. What's been happening here, Sergeant?
Accident, sir. One of the boys from the school.
Which one?
Don't know his name yet, sir. You wouldn't be from the school, would you?
Yes.
Mr. Rhodes, the master there, Sergeant.
Mr. Rhodes? Ah, yes, of course. Well, perhaps you wouldn't mind just stepping inside the ambulance, sir. Save a lot of time if you could identify him.
Certainly.
This way, please, sir. There, sir. Know him?
Good Lord. It's Perkins. He's the head boy in Terence Fielding's house.
Yes, I know.
Is he badly hurt?
Worse than that, sir. I'm afraid he's dead.
That was part three of A Murder of Quality, the novel by John le Carré, adapted for radio by René Basilico. It starred George Cole as Smiley, with Norman Bowler as Inspector Rigby. The part of Stanley Rhodes was played by William Gaunt, Simon Snow by John Glover, Anne Snow by Jane Knowles, Major Harriman and Samuel Glaston by David Ryle, and the Police Sergeant by Peter Tuddenham. Produced by John Fawcett Wilson.